Hello, my beautiful people. It is me, Marley, and you're tuning into Makeup Microplastics with Marley. This is the fifth episode, which is so crazy that it's been going on now for over a month. Yes, in the beginning, it was an hour long, but because I am working on my dissertation right now and my future is a little kooky, I'm moving back home soon. And figuring out what my next steps are, it will have to be 30 minutes from there on out. But it could return to an hour while I am applying to jobs back home because I will have more free time, but we'll see. Just for consistency's sake, it might stay 30 minutes. So today is yet another episode of Makeup Microplastics with Marley. It is me, Marley, and you're listening to the show on Moss Radio. So just a recap of last week's episode, we talked about, what did we talk about? Brands to protest, of course. Oh, I remember. We talked about types of sustainable materials to use for cosmetics, like biodegradable materials, innovations of materials for packaging, for example, such as compostable units. I apologize if you can hear something out my window. I've closed my window and my fan is off, but sometimes you could still hear cars on the road. So if you hear anything, that's just what it is. So yeah, that's what we talked about last week's episode. Innovations of compostable materials. And if you can, if you can't tune into the show as it airs, you can always look up our archives. It's on the Moss Radio website, so it's easy to access. But yeah, you can listen back to episodes there. So today's episode is focused on Beat the Microbead, which is a social movement, and their research and other research. As usual, I will end my episodes with one brand to protest and one brand to recommend. I've said this before, but I always want to end my episodes on this because I believe it's important to inspire some sense of hope and not be like, guys, don't use this brand. And then you're like, okay, well, what do I do now instead? I have always had an issue with that, at least in education, for example, where it's like the teacher's like, oh, guys, it's the way the world works. It sucks. Have a good rest of your night. That always really weighs on me. So I think it's important to give a direction. And that way we know where to put our money because money, of course, is power and purchasing power is important. And it is a way that we can make effective change. For example, boycotts are especially useful if you can't donate your money. You're still making an impact by direction of your money. So I really hope that you guys take my recommendations and protest seriously. I'm kind of, I will speak about this later, but I'm at the point of no compromise. If brands do not reach certain criteria that I have, then I'm just not buying from them, period. And I don't believe we're at a point anymore with the types of climate change levels to have accommodation. I mean, on one hand, yes, cheaper products are accessible. And if you have money to spend, then you can afford alternatives. But you'll be surprised. At this point, drugstore is just as expensive as the alternatives that I'm recommending. I mean, inflation is causing drugstore products to be as expensive as things that you could buy instead. So I really, really, really urge you to be on the same page as me when it comes to no compromise when it comes to these products. So I'll go into that later. But yeah, so there's Beat the Microbead and then there's the Plastic Soup Foundation. I believe Beat the Microbeat is the movement and Plastic Soup Foundation is their like establishment, maybe in which that they not lobby but protest legally. Yeah, so they work together and it is the main social movement that has advocated for removing microplastics. They were successful a few years ago with the EU banning the hard forms of microplastics, for example, like beads and face wash. That's an example of microplastic, hard microplastic, that they were successful in their protests. They did a really they did a what is it called when you sign a petition? They did a petition, was successful, and the EU banned it. So I'll go into the EU later as well. But you can always direct to them if you want to educate yourself further. Again, that's Beat the Microbead and the Plastic Soup Foundation. So just a refresher of some definitions. The term microplastic is not consistently defined, but is typically considered and not limited to referring to small solid particles made of a synthetic polymer. They are associated with long-term persistence in the environment if released, as they are very resistant to biodegradation. So it takes thousands or more years to break down plastic naturally, because they are synthetic. In cosmetics, microplastic refers to all types of plastic particles intentionally added to personal care and cosmetic products. This definition continues to evolve in accordance with ongoing relevant scientific research. So, like I said before, this is just this episode's main focus is on Beat the Microbead and what they're doing. And they have a lot of research as well, that you can look into. But this is kind of just like a summary, for you guys to, it's like the tip of the iceberg if you're interested in where to start. So, like I said, the definition of microplastic continues to evolve. So, the fact that it's not consistently defined allows for confusion in care and policy regulations. Beauty companies are constantly making up new polymers. They are constantly making up new names for them. Like I've said in my previous episodes, if you've been able to tune in, I've said over like 20 names at this point of what a microplastic in product looks like. And yeah, they're not going to be labeled as microplastic, but then you would think, okay, then if it's not labeled as microplastic, it'll be this name. No, beauty brands are constantly naming and renaming, and they have discretion because it's such a new topic of interest. They have their own discretion to name it what is fit for them. And like, because they're developing these products, they can have new methods of like manipulating these polymers. So that's why it could be in a new name as well. Or they mix the plastic polymers with another ingredient like sodium hyaluronate or niacinamide or something like that. You know, they combine these things together, which is like a copolymer. But that's why there's so many names for it, because they're constantly making new products and making new innovations. But yeah, so the fact that beauty companies are constantly making up new polymer types and putting them in their products is why it's difficult to understand the names of microplastics. They're constantly changing, and therefore they're not being regulated because they're always changing and they're not regulated at all by any sort of legislation except for the hard types. The only regulation that's happening is just like scientific research, but that even proves to be difficult because when things are constantly changing, it doesn't upkeep the same level or time as a scientific research paper like aims to produce. You know, they're kind of like at different levels of speed. And research papers need like extremely exact definition. So that's why they might just focus on one polymer, for example. It's very difficult. And this delay of regulation and name changing allows for delays in policy and unified scientific research, and therefore the lobbying of the beauty industry of allowing microplastics continues. So delays also occur because of the transition periods granted to the cosmetic industry by higher legislative bodies. So basically, the EU, for example, could be like, okay, you have 3 years to phase out the, this is not an exact fact, but this is like how this happens. So the EU, for example, could say to a beauty brand, you have 3 years to phase out hard microplastics like the beads in face wash, but then they're just polluting for 3 years. So the transition periods, yes, that allows for innovation, but it allows for pollution as well. Yeah, so it's just a loophole and it's ridiculous. There should be no grant of transition, in my opinion, because they have the money to add something new. Yeah. What's more is that an inadequate piece of legislation, such as allowing hard microplastics versus liquid, gives the cosmetic industry the opportunity to work around restrictions and can continue their reliance on synthetic polymers. So another definition for you guys, just to refresh. So there is a difference between microplastics and nanoplastics, which is so intense for me. Like I was honestly having a lot of anxiety writing this. So the exact cutoff between microplastic and nanoplastic is a subject of debate. So in the report for Beat the Microbead, in which I'm referencing this information, nanoplastics are defined as 0.1 micrometer, which equals 100 nanometers or less in size. These particles tend to be smaller than or close to the size of viruses. That is how freaking small it is. Engineered nanoplastics are deliberately manufactured plastics for the use of various products. So, like I was saying, you might hear me talk extensively about this term, a polymer. So, a polymer is a natural or synthetic substance consisting of very large molecules called macromolecules, composed of many repeating subunits, monomers. The monomers are the repeating subunits. Plastic is an example of a synthetic polymer. Saccharides are an example of a natural polymer, for example. So polymers are just a, like a name, a category of repeating chain units. So polysaccharides are an example of a natural polymer. So like carbs, pasta, bread, that's an example of a natural one. So polymers are not just like all plastic. It's a type of, it's a categorization that helps you understand like why a microplastic would be named this way, because by chemistry it is considered that. So if you're trying to find microplastic in your makeup or skincare, it's likely going to have this term, but it might not, which is why it's so confusing. So for example, you might find microplastic in the name of styrene copolymer. That is microplastic, but it's labeled as polymer because that's what it is, and like that's what its scientific name is. Because that's a repeating unit. And then the styrene is actually the microplastic. So that's why it would be named that way. And then you can find copolymer, which is what I was talking about before, with how brands are evolving their innovations. When it's a copolymer, that means two ingredients are mixed together. So that's why one of the most popular forms of microplastic in makeup is like the isoprene, ethylene, styrene, copolymer. Those are three things mixed together. And that's why it's called co, because they're mixed. So that's an example of how you can find microplastic, but not everything that has the name copolymer means it's microplastic. Excuse me, it's the word that comes before that, which indicates. So why this is important is because each year about 3,800 tons of microplastics are released into the environment through the use of everyday cosmetics and care products in Europe. Europe alone, Europe alone. So the European Chemicals Agency, the ECHA, is trying to get the European Commission, the EC, to broaden their understanding of the definition of microplastic. So the previous proposed definition excludes nanoplastic, water-soluble polymers, liquid polymers, and biodegradable polymers. Therefore, they believe that the ECHA's figures of microplastics released into the environment every year in Europe alone has been thoroughly underestimated. So, yeah, that is the difference between the hard microplastics and the liquid microplastics. When you say water soluble, that literally makes no sense to me because they're saying, oh, it's okay because it disintegrates into water. No, it doesn't. That just means microplastics are being released into the water when you wash your face. But because it's like a hard bead, it stays the way it is. It's like, okay, but the microplastic particles are also staying the way that they are. But because you can't see them with your naked eye, and the fact that it's like washed away means that it's okay? No, that just means it's harder to detect and point out. Oh God. So that's just the estimated figure for hard microplastics. Just give me one second. I'm gonna have some water. Okay, sorry about that. But yeah, like I was saying, there's again the difference between liquid or flexible, I guess, microplastics and hard microplastics. So that's where the EU draws the line. And therefore, there's so much more pollution happening that we just don't know about. Because, like I said, scientific research takes much longer than the push out that the beauty industry market does. So in the Beat the Microbead research, microplastics accounted for 87% of the products they evaluated. So because these brands can allow for liquid microplastics, any claims of being sustainable are just out the window and unjustified. So keep this in mind. This is just like blatant greenwashing. And I just have no compromise. Like, okay, on one hand, you don't test on animals, but you release microplastics into nature, which poisons animals. So screw you. I just can't. Like, what is that? It is just such clear manipulation. And like I said in my first episode, it manipulates and takes advantage of people who really, I personally believe people are good people. Now, maybe I don't believe I'm ignorant. I really do believe that. And I believe that people have a desire to make a difference, but the way that our capitalist system is made up, it just weakens our morality to a point where we're just indifferent about these things because we're made to believe that we have no choice. But we do have choices, and that's why I want to tell you guys this information as well as give alternatives. So my hope and Beat the Microbeads hope is that a strict EU law that regulates all intentionally added microplastics will have a far-reaching impact on the global fight. Why this is important is because most sunscreen manufacturers, now they try to keep up with both the European market and the Asian market for skincare, and sunscreen is a really good example of this. Even if they're an American brand, they want their products to be sold everywhere. When I have questioned American brands about their inclusions of microplastics, they have responded with the EU limitations as their answer. Yes, I am a person that asks these questions in brands' comments, especially sustainable brands, being like, okay, yes, you are fair trade, but why do you formulate with microplastics? They answer with that. They answer with saying, thank you so much for caring about what ingredients you have, but we're upkeeping with what the EU regulates. So once that changes, we'll change. And it's like, okay, but why aren't you just a pioneer in this, and in which other brands could be inspired to change, and then in which the EU will change? Like, why do you have to wait? I don't understand that. So I'm sorry that I just went on a tangent, but so even if it's an American brand, they're going to try and formulate their product to be sold everywhere, meaning that they want the FDA to approve of their product. And the FDA, which is the American regulation for makeup and skincare, for example, they are notoriously behind on filters for sunscreen, and it's just like archaic filtering for sunscreen. For example, so a makeup product has to fit the FDA market. It ha with the American market, it has to fit the European market, and it has to fit the Asian market. And the European market and Asian market for skincare and sunscreen especially is so much more advanced. So that's why they allow microplastics, because it's that's an example of why that they would follow the EU rule, even if it's American or an Asian brand. Microplastics have been found at the highest point on Earth, in the Himalayan mountains, and at the lowest point of Earth, in the Mariana Trench. That just shows how far-reaching these impacts are. Microplastics removed in wastewater treatment plants are also trapped in sludge, which is what is applied to agricultural soil as fertilizer. That means our soil is contaminated by microplastics, and wastewater treatments don't have the technology to remove microplastics from water. If they do, like I said, it's trapped in what is then applied to agricultural. God. Microplastic is in our blood. Yes, it is. What that means for us is that the immune system may continue attacking these plastic particles because they're foreign, and which can lead to inflammation, because that is how biology works. That is how our immune system works, is that it attacks foreign incomers. And I feel like there's a better way to say that. It attacks foreign bodies of, yeah, in our body. So if it sees microplastic in our body, it's going to be like, oh no, we're going to get sick. So that reaction is inflammation. So chronic inflammation is associated with numerous health conditions such as autoimmune diseases and cancer. This is where I get to the no compromises part. This is the point I'm at. Now I'm not gonna throw out all my makeup just to immediately buy new makeup. That is falling into a consumerist trap and falling into greenwashing and capitalism. But I am heavily considering never using some of these products again, as microplastic is high up on the ingredient list. I mean, yes, I can do this with some of my stuff because I'm in a relatively good financial position. Like, the stuff that I would use still is probably like all my eyeshadow and powder stuff. Talc is a whole other thing that we could talk about in the next episode. Gosh, it's just never ending, this stuff. But that's why I'm at the point of no compromise. Like, I literally went a week without a good moisturizer because I ran out, because my favorite one had microplastic in it, and I just couldn't find a moisturizer that didn't have plastic in the formulation. It took so long to find something. And now I'm like not really reapplying sunscreen properly because I can't find a stick sunscreen here in Ireland that doesn't have microplastic in the formulation. There's one that I know that doesn't have microplastic in the formulation, but I have to wait back home to go get that in Cape Town in New York City. And I will tell you guys what that is. It's a specific sunscreen stick by Abib, ABIB, and it's like the more oily one, unfortunately. It's not their matte version. It's like a more typical sunscreen. And that one doesn't have microplastic in it, so I'm waiting to get that. Oh gosh, but yeah, I'm at the point of no compromise. I'm being extremely cautious and picky now because I can. I am in a place of privilege to do that. I know it's almost impossible because of accessibility, price, location, even because it's like, okay, where can I go to buy something sustainable? You have to go so far out of your way to buy or shift your purchasing to buy something more sustainable. And that's why I think it was last week's episode I recommended, or the episode before that, I recommended this online platform called Zero Waste Store. It's a website with that's just like the name, and you can find stuff there that is plastic free, packaging free, that is sustainable. But then it's like, okay, it raises a question of like carbon emissions. But I think that they might have like carbon offset if you add like 50 cents to it or something. But yeah, I'm being as picky as possible. I just am done. Like, I'm so done with compromising. And I guess that's tricky because then, but when I say that, yes, I changed my mind to new research. That is something I like about myself, is that I'm open to changing my opinion based on research that I see. But like, this is not really changing research because it's about pollution. The only thing that will change is the broadening definitions of what microplastic is, as well as its pollution impacts. So yeah, I'm being as picky as possible as I can, and I hope you join me and follow the brands to protest, as well as the recommendations that I give. I know it's impossible, but please join me. Compromise, like I was saying, this ties back to the beginning of this episode. Compromise allows for loopholes that these brands capitalize on. So when they have this time to change, when they see that people are still buying their stuff, they're like, see, we're in demand by people. You can't expect us to phase out microplastics in just 2 years because people need it, it seems. Buying it means that they need it. So we have to give them what they want, and we have to have time to switch out because we're in such hot demand, you know? But if they see that the trend reduces, then they'll make the switch. They will cave in to consumer demands no matter what. They could change tomorrow if they really saw that people were demanding a difference, but they're not, because of compromise. And it also allows for increased pollution with compromising. And compromising especially allows for lobbying by these beauty brands, like I was saying earlier. They're like, okay, the fact that they're drawing a line between hard microplastic and liquid microplastic is a compromise because of lobbying, because they're getting so much money for doing so. And the fact that these brands have so much money to spend to lobby means that they have the money to spend to reformulate without microplastics. So I don't buy their bullshit when it comes to, oh, we have to keep this on the market, you know, where people need this stuff. No, it's the illusion. You're making us believe that we need it, and you're making us believe that we have no other option. So one brand to protest then that brings me to is Garnier. Again, that is a subsidiary owned by L'Oreal, which is being protested by the BDS movement because of their factories operated in Israel on displaced land, mining from the Dead Sea, donating to Israeli research. And it's also being evaluated by Beat the Microbead for microplastic inclusion. So it's just a two-in-one. No more. No more. And just any L'Oreal brand, you can look it up yourself. It's so easy to find out. It's so easy to read up on the BDS movement, why they're protesting L'Oreal. Please just boycott literally every L'Oreal brand. And a brand to recommend for makeup is this brand called Axiology, AXIOLOGY. I might be saying that wrong. That's why I spelled that out. But it is a woman-owned, packaging-free makeup brand. And it also has plastic-free formulations, which is really cool. And I know it's like packaging free, it's like wrapped in, it's like a solid form of lipstick, for example. And the packaging is paper, so you like hold on to the, it's like you hold on to the product itself basically by putting it on. I know that could put some people off because they're like, oh, it's finicky, and that means it's like cheap. And it's okay, you'll survive. Sorry, that sounded rude, but what I mean is it's okay. Like these are the, I don't know. We can do that. We can get a little makeup on our fingers if it means that it doesn't have plastic in it and it's woman-owned and it's packaging free. I think that's really cool. And the reviews are amazing. So I'm excited to try this brand out one day. So yeah, that's it for my episode. I hope you enjoyed. I'm sorry if I was kind of in a poor mood because I think all this information just made me really angry, and I feel sad, really sad. I mean, obviously, I feel kind of stuck with all this and suffocated. But I know that we can make a difference, and I really believe everything that I'm saying. I believe that people have it in them, even if they've been subdued by capitalism, to make a difference. And we have choices. We have changes we can make to demand more. I really do believe that because it's true. It's factual. Like, we can demand more. The EU gives in to consumerist demands. And whether that consumerist demand is under the guise of protest, yes, they will give in. So, yes, they can regulate microplastics if we demand it. So that's it for my episode today. Yeah, like I said, I'm sorry if I'm a little angry, but that's like I deserve to be, we deserve to be angry about this. This is intentional pollution. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, you can listen to the other episodes on Moss Radio in the archives. And I'll see you in my next one. I love you guys. Have a great rest of your day and keep a lookout for this stuff. If you ever want to learn more or read more, you can always contact me and I'll send this stuff to you. Take care.